Hello, coaches, and welcome to the Coach You Newcomer SIG. My name is Simone Peer, and I'm your co-host for today. And today's topic is the Needless Program as part of a series of some of the core assessments that Coach You has as part of their Personal Foundation Program. And today we are going to be exploring and trying with this, coaching on this, and then we'll be taking this series a little bit further. And so we've got a few people on the line, just so you know that we are being recorded, so if you want to use a name other than your own, based on this being possibly some sensitive material, I just want to spotlight that. And so, Needless Program. This is, in case you have not been a participant of the Advanced Coach Training Program, it is a part of the Personal Foundation 2 program, and in your workbook, the Coach You Personal Development Workbook and Guide, it begins on page 82. And so there's information about it, and then in the blue book, the resources book, or in the resources section of the website, there is the actual assessment. And so in case you didn't have access or know where those materials were to be found, and in the big blue book, it's on page 314. So if you don't have the assessment in front of you, I would encourage you to get it in front of you because it will help you follow along with some of the things as we go. And so if this is your first time seeing it, essentially I'm doing a series right now on last recording with the Clean Sweep program. So if you didn't attend that, you're certainly welcome to join the Facebook group and get access to the recording. And then this one is the Needless program. We'll also be doing the True Values program. And these are three critical assessments related to the Personal Foundation program. And also there's a model that I absolutely adore that is not so prevalent in coaches' training material now as it was when I was a student, like almost 20 years ago. And it's called the INW model, Integrity, Needs, and Wants. And so what this series is about is to bring these critical components together. Clean Sweep correlates to integrity, Needless program to needs, and the True Values program correlating to the wants of that INW model. And essentially, having this in your coaching toolbox, in your coaching awareness, I think is really a very solid platform for being able to coach your clients into transformational shifts in which they can get things handled like forever, or huge leaps of, you know, getting something handled. And then, you know, the next onion layer may come up with something else to work on. But rather than just always doing some strategies and only looking at actions to get results, this is really about getting to the cause of things. I call it the crick in the neck of their thinking, because essentially when people aren't making the kinds of changes or they can't quite see things so that they can change, it's like when you wake up with a crick in your neck and you can't really move your head and it's bothersome all day long and kind of stretch it and it doesn't help and you can't turn your head and it just is dragging your attention all day long. And that's kind of what happens in our life when our thinking is off balance. And I don't want to say that it's wrong or faulty, but it's just kind of holding us back. And so this is another way of helping people find out where that crick in their thinking is so that there's not anything that's holding them back they have to keep overcoming. They just can overcome it and move on. And so the Needless program, think about where, so I guess I'm want to check in about what is it that you already know about the Need Less program. And yeah, let's start there from a few folks. What do you guys know about it?
This is Heather. I feel like it's something that can be worked with the other programs that you've already mentioned, like the values and the, what was the first one again? I always forget it.
Clean Sweep.
Yeah, Clean Sweep. And that if we start to meet our, if our needs are met, that our values just probably fall into line.
Great. Thanks, Heather. Someone else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Pablo. So I've worked on my knees a long time ago. I don't think I specifically use this program. I know about knees and the importance of having them fulfilled or met. So I'm interested in kind of going how to use it specifically this program, because I got the needs through some other ways.
Okay. Thanks. And that's Pablo or Paolo?
Pablo.
Is this Pablo who used to come when Louise and I were doing these regularly before?
Yes, because I've been on sabbatical last year, so I used to attend like a year and a half ago. I attended a few of your calls.
Okay. Oh, well, welcome back. Well, Louise and I were on sabbatical too.
I think you also stopped for a little while.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's nice to have you back.
It's a good way to reconnect.
Yeah. And Brenda and Monica, and anything that you would like to add or say about the what you know about the Need Less program?
This is Monica. I don't know a lot about this program. I started it and narrowed down to 10 words, but wasn't able to get past that step. So that's why I'm on this call, so that I can learn more about this program.
Great. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, Simone, and this is Brenda. Like I kind of said at the beginning, I hadn't really looked at it a lot yet, but I think it's just, I'm kind of glancing at, like, a little bit, and it's talking about, you know, our personal needs, like water, food, and shelter, but I think this looks like it's just going to go way beyond that, and possibly we're going to be looking to fulfill some needs that we've not really maybe had met throughout our lives, like as children and for our adult lives, that type of thing. I'm just kind of throwing that out there.
And that really is the spot on thing, and probably as a coach becomes the scary thing to say, oh my gosh, we're talking about childhood stuff, is this going to be therapy? And no. However, a few things that I do want to spotlight about this, I do think, and I think that it's part of Coach U's philosophy, it's part of the underpinning of their pedagogy for coach training, is personal foundation. So if you never do anything else with it but work on this for yourself, you're going to be much happier in your own life, but also a much better coach. And some coaches, and I guess, you're not going to do this with every client, but I think the more attuned to it you are, the more you can weave in what you know about this into your natural coaching without even necessarily having to have clients, you know, hand them the assessment and actually coach them through it. So I want to say that there's going to be some indirect ways that you will be utilizing this, and when there's times when you want to use this directly, I personally like to use it with my clients. And I'm going to say after, okay, this is 2019. So I found coaching 20 years ago. I started Coach U in 2000. I probably was introduced to this then in about the year 2000. And it was, and I've used it a lot, but I ended up working with a mentor who had also worked directly with Thomas Leonard in a different way. And she, I feel like she opened my eyes to this tool in a way that had never been available to me before after, I don't know, you know, more than 15 years of already loving this tool. And so that, I will say, that's a part of what makes me really excited to bring this. I feel like what she gave me about this isn't even something I got when I was trained in this back in 2000, 2001. And so so I'm hoping to shorten a learning curve for all of you and make it accessible to you in a really powerful way to actually be able to coach it in a way that makes sense and in a way that what we do. So as Brenda had mentioned, yeah, likely something in childhood, and that's really it. It's usually that there's something that happened in childhood that we're just missing some kind of essential ingredient. And if you imagine you have two plants, and they're the same seeds, they're the same soil, the same water, the same kind of pot, the same airflow, the same sunlight, everything about them is the same, and they're growing. There's no, you know, nothing bugs or deadly or anything about them. And then one of them starts getting some plant food or some fertilizer. What do you think is going to happen between, you know, what's going to be the difference between those two plants?
This is Monica. One is going to flourish.
Exactly. And what's going to happen to the other one?
It may run out of nutrients.
I kind of missed you said it may run out of
nutrients.
And I will say, well, I'm going to say yeah. And we don't even have to go that extreme when we come to less. Well, maybe we do. but even just consider that it'll keep growing. You know, let's say there's some tomato plants or something. And it'll keep bearing fruit. But the one with the plant food and the fertilizer is probably, like you said, it's going to thrive, it's going to flourish. Those tomatoes are probably going to taste a whole lot better. They're going to be richer in nutrients. There's so much more about it. And I think that's what the Need Less program is really spotlighting for us, that we'll get on in life. It's, you know, people get on in all kind of ways, but we get on so much better and we're able to be so much more of our best selves when we have our needs met. And there can be some distinctions that we also pay attention to in terms of, is this actually a value? If you've looked at the True Values program as well as the Need Less, you'll notice that a lot of the words are the same. And so if you just look at the assessments, it can be confusing, like, okay, what, why, how do I know the difference of what's what? And so that's one of the things that we pay attention to, is it something that we want? Is it something that is just natural to how we flow? Or is it something that we absolutely really must have in order to be our best? And something that we can also take note of is that when it's not being met, then we divert our energy in ways to get them met. And an example might be, here's like a little case study example that I'll share. So we've got somebody who has a need, I'll call her Janet. So Janet has a need to be well-regarded. And maybe, you know, she's worked with a coach and done this assessment, or this is what we'll discover. And because she has a need to be well-regarded, she may end up being a people pleaser. She may not ask for help. So she may be really struggling at work. So this could be, you know, just your client, Janet. She doesn't really want anyone to know that she can't get this particular job or function done well or on her own or not done, you know, very well. So she ends up being late on things, or she gets things done partially, or they're just not that good, and she thinks she's kind of hiding these things and she's just kind of getting by. And really, she's just basically afraid of admitting that she needs help, or that she doesn't exactly know how to do the thing that's required of her. And so she just hides those things, probably is overworked, running out of those nutrients, and feels like a fraud, is coming to coaching to try and be more productive with her time. You know, I need better time management. If I could just, you know, focus on my tasks. And maybe that is part of it, because maybe she chit-chats at the water cooler as a way of avoiding doing what she doesn't really feel like she knows how to do. And in fact, she actually can't really do that well. And so she's more afraid of protecting this sort of construct about herself that, you know, I'm capable, and yet it's kind of transparent, especially to her boss, or if she's on a team, you know, the people who are working with her more likely see some of those shortcomings. They might not know that she is afraid of asking for help or feeling like she's not good enough because she needs to be regarded well, but they are probably thinking something about having her as a teammate. And so even though she's trying to hide it, she really isn't. And so in working with her, one coach might just try and help her organize her schedule, create some boundaries, which are always useful, in order to not be interrupted and to focus on what her work is. But with you being equipped with this kind of information, you'll be noticing and listening for, maybe even do this kind of work with her, to also listen and discover what's really going on. Because if she gets to a point where she realizes by asking for help and performing as expected, she will be well regarded, then she'll actually be getting the needs met and flourishing and contributing. So it kind of becomes this domino effect in the other way, in which she gets to experience herself as her best, and she gets to contribute her best, and she gets to then also interact with others from that best self. So let me just check in to see, based on that sort of case study example, any thoughts, questions, comments? All right, then what we get to do is just, I'm kind of moving quickly forward, and I apologize if I sound rushed. I mentioned I have to teach a class at the top of the hour, and this is such a big topic. I just want to make sure that we get to the good coaching stuff of it. And so what we're going to do now is I'm going to coach someone, and then I'm going to do my best. I'm not making any promises, but we'll see what happens. And then we will deconstruct it. And I'll spotlight some of the things, because it's not going to be a standard coaching session. There might be a little more direction to it and a little more leading, because it is around a very particular discovery. And then from that element of discovery, then the quote-unquote normal coaching can resume, if you will, then coaching someone around this. So in a way, it's almost like an overarching agreement discovery session that you might have. This could be about renegotiating the agreement of your coaching relationship to work on this. And so it will be a little bit different than just a normal session. So I just want to say that. And so we'll deconstruct it, and then if there's time, one of you can coach somebody else. And so with that said, then I need a volunteer of somebody who has gone through the Clean Sweep program and narrowed down to their four.
This is Heather. I'll do it. I kind of really want to.
Awesome.
Hey.
Okay, so Heather, what are your four? What I'm going to ask for your four words, and I'm going to write them down, so you might have to repeat them.
Prosperity. Taken care of. Understood. Respected.
Okay. And did you say take in care of or taking care of?
I think it's actually taken care of. So someone would take care of me.
Okay.
T-N of I-N-G. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay, so if you think back to when you were about 5 years old, how would prosperity have played out in your life?
I grew up on in poverty, on Canadian standards, so it wasn't there.
And so basically then poverty wasn't there, what did that mean for you?
If poverty wasn't there, what was that meant
sorry,
to me?
Prosperity. I said the wrong word. I'm sorry. What was the question I just said? Now I forgot what I said. Well, you know what? I'm going to actually give you some insider thinking here. Not yet. So by not having prosperity, what was your life like?
Restricted. Never really felt like I could ask for anything. Different to everybody else. Keep it a secret. And pretend it wasn't happening. Project an image of that we weren't poor.
Okay. And what kind of role does prosperity play in your life now?
I mean, I'm definitely much more, it's definitely driven me to not be poor. I think we spoke in the last time where I save way more than 10% of my income. And I see it as a security blanket, but also I see it as an essential thing, but it's still, funny enough, it's still not my end goal. Like, even with my businesses I started, it was more of a passion, and the money has just been an outcome of my passion. I also feel like I have some unhealthy boundaries around money in relationships, but yeah, there you go.
And regarding those unhealthy boundaries around relationships with money, what do you mean by that?
Oh, I had an ex-boyfriend who didn't work for like 2 years, and I paid for everything, his mortgage, the whole lot.
Okay.
I can't believe it's with a group of strangers, but whatever, here we go. I signed up for it.
And so let's then coming back to 5 years, and tell me what kind of role would understood have played at about 5 years old in your life?
You know, the first thing that kind of comes to mind is like, you know, going to school, and I was like, just be yourself, and I'm five, and already thinking, I don't know who I am. I just never really felt like my intentions were understood, or I never really understood what was expected of me either. It was very confused both ways. people not understanding me and me not understanding others of what is expected of me.
And what does it mean for you to know what's expected of you?
I think it creates safety. I know what, okay, this is what they're expecting of me. Can I fulfill that? Can I not fulfill that? It's just honesty and transparency.
And go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
I'm going to, if you've got the needless in front of you, I'm going to ask you to just set it aside or turn it over. And I'm going to read a few words to you from one of the columns. And I just want you to listen and just notice if anything tweaks you in any kind of way. Okay, so here's the word. Safety, security, protected, stable, fully informed, deliberate, vigilant, cautious, alert, guarded.
The first few words you said, safety, security, protected, stable, and fully informed is kind of on the teetering edge of not really, I don't need to know. I'm not really, when I hear fully informed, I think, know every detail. I'm not detail oriented. I'm more big picture.
And so out of then safety, security, protected, stable, which of those stands out even that, like, as the most important?
Safety.
And what's it like for you when you don't feel safe?
The first word that comes to my head is fearful, uncomfortable, and I've given away my power.
And what's it like for you when you do feel safe?
The word home comes to me, comfortable, relaxed, loved, nurtured, accepted, and the word me kind of comes up, just safe to be me.
And what would your definition of safety be?
First physically. So physical safety, not any bodily harm, and then emotional, being non-violent communication. That's emotional, verbal. And also, I kind of lean towards my higher power a little bit too. I know I'm safe in my higher power's hands and through his guidance.
And how safe do you feel in your life now?
Yeah. I live in Canada. It's like the safest country in the world. I live in a little hometown. I'm staying in my hometown right now, and it's like pristine where I live. Everything's perfect, although not. There's nothing ever bad that happens here. I think the last bad thing that happened was like 17 years ago. I've got a safe car. My physical environment's very safe. I have safe and nurturing people around me, or that I've only let into my life since moving back to Canada. Spiritually, I have a good connection. I have felt a better connection in living in other places to my higher power, but I know my higher power brought me here, so. Yeah. So I'm safe. I'm good.
And what about the safety with your prosperity?
Well, right now I'm not really working that much. I'm volunteering, and then I work just a couple hours a week. But I expressed this in our last time. I don't think anybody else is on that call. I guess you just kind of pray to God and say, I just need time to breathe. I just need time to breathe. And then realizing I'm in Canada, I'm like, oh, I've got time to breathe. This is my breathing time. So I'm not too worried about, I know that I will be provided for. That my higher, since leaving home, I've never been hungry. So I know I'm fully capable and my higher power will guide me.
And what I hear in that is an element of the taken care of. And so what is it like for you when you are taken care of?
I wouldn't know that, to be fair. I don't think I've ever really experienced that. I'm usually the one taking care of other people. But I really do value it when or need it. I think that's something I've been, like how you explained about, I don't know, your case study and her acting in certain behaviors, hoping that she'll get something back in return. And I've been living by that model of treat others as you'd like to be treated, which I think is a bit bollocks. I think you need to treat yourself the way you want to be treated, and that energy will introduce yourself before you do your, before I physically introduce myself. I'm talking in circles here maybe, but so I've been taking care of everybody else in hopes that they'll recognize that actually, oh, I should take care of her, but it hasn't worked that way.
And what is it that you would want or expect to get by being taken care of?
Can you say that again? I'm not sure if I'm following your question.
What would you want or expect to receive, or what would you get by being taken care of?
I think I'd have a feeling of security and a feeling of I can breathe. There's a little space to relax and soften. To take the weight off my shoulders and share it with somebody. I see it more as a partnership, as, you know, a reciprocity.
And what was your experience in being taken care of when you were about 5?
I was already caretaking by then. I was walking myself to school. I was taking care of my mom. I was a mini adult by the age of 5, probably.
And so, okay, I'm going to take a little time out here,
mm-hmm.
and just paying attention to time, and go through some of the things that that I've been thinking and why I'm asking.
Okay.
And then, yeah, okay, anyway. Just looking to think it through time. So let me ask the coaches who have been observing, what are you noticing about the kinds of questions that I'm asking and how I'm bouncing around?
Yeah, this is Pablo. So one thing I noticed, and actually something I wanted to ask you, because I dropped out of the call a few minutes at the beginning, and I'm not sure whether that was what you meant. You asked how the need was present when Heather was young. And
yeah.
I was actually having this question whether the needs, or most pressing needs, they are developed from things that happen when we are very young, and that, let's say, it converts in a need that is driving us when we are order. I don't know whether that is what you said at the beginning of the call.
Essentially, yes. I don't remember if I actually said it that way, but it is generally something that's essential that we didn't get in our childhood. And so that's why I do start out with that kind of question, is to kind of get a sense of like what was going on and how did these words relate then? What was, you know, what were they doing at that time in her life? So that is why I start there.
Because because you asked a question, I'm bouncing back another question, but we can get to that in time. Because then it makes complete sense what you said at the beginning, whether that gets to the point where, in my point, you know, whether it's cell therapy or not, and how much about knowing about the past will help us in the future. That would be my question that I can put in the air.
And what are you noticing about, I don't know if you had heard this part, but one of the things that I said, Pablo, was that that this was a discovery type of conversation. So this is a particular way of having
right.
a conversation that sets up the standard coaching. So there is some of that dip back and forth. And also, I will spotlight, though, that that I do keep bringing it back to the present now. And there's certain things that I'm listening for in the past and connected to the present. I'm listening for some patterns in terms of, okay, that could be some origin. How is it playing out now? That could be some origin. How is it playing out now? And so I've got some ideas about what I've heard so far that if we were to continue on, I would probably share some of my thoughts and check in, and then we'd keep going. And that's what I didn't want to do at this point. And I thought, let's take the time to just deconstruct it a little bit first. And so, yeah. So what else are you, either you, Pablo, or other coaches noticing about, the, you know, how this conversation is progressing?
This is Brenda. I think I see you bouncing back and forth, kind of trying to get to the source of these, these feelings, maybe getting Heather's definition of what these words mean to her, and, I guess that's it.
Yeah. Yep. check for Pablo, check for Brenda. Monica, anything else that you're noticing?
I said at one point you went and read a list of words that it is committed to safety.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit, so I think you asked for me to explain why I did that.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Why I did was, when she spoke about the prosperity, and when I asked her about what does it do for her now, and she had used the word security blanket, and then when I asked her about understood, she talked about it creates safety. I was kind of hearing some other, you know, things, and then when I think about taken care of, that can, we hadn't gone there yet, that can be a safety thing. So I wanted to go into that list to see what in there might specifically resonate. And the flow of, here's kind of there's a little bit of feedback coming from someone's line. It might be yours, Monica, because it was kind of hard to hear you. So I'm going to ask, oh, whoever put themselves on mute, that made it better, thank you. And feel free to come off to ask questions. I'm going to say what some of my conclusions are at this moment that I would be checking in with. It sounds to me like, in the context of the words that Heather had shared so far, that some of these elements are showing up maybe as wants, and possibly as values, And or it sounds like she has done some of the work to get the needs met. And so if we have more time, you know, more proper session, like maybe a whole 45 minutes or an hour, we could really dive deep into exploring this more fully. And so, but some of what I'm hearing here and what my approach had been was to first have her share the foreword, and then what you listen for is what's either kind of an oddball thing, and, you know, one of these things doesn't belong here, because often the words will kind of have a similar quality. And these all, they related well enough in that way. So if she had said something like, restrict, I would have been like, whoa, you know, taking care of, understood, restrict, what is, you know, that's interesting. That would have been kind of the oddball one. So I would have gone for that one. The other way that you kind of just pick one, so that you notice I was directed and leading there, but I didn't leave the things out, but I picked the one, is because I thought, what five-year-old is even thinking about prosperity? Whether somebody grew up in extreme wealth or somebody grew up in extreme poverty, that concept of prosperity at 5 years old is more of an adult concept. And so, you know, because you, when you're a kid, it's just, that's just your life. And you don't necessarily know it always so much as being different quite yet. And so that's why I chose that word, because I put it in the five-year-old context of, what is a five-year-old, you know, really think and ponder and contemplate about that and have a need for. And so that's in asking. And then I asked her, so her initial response was one in which we can easily make assumptions. And then I asked her a little bit more about what that meant. And so, or, you know, what did it mean to not have prosperity? And so, so then she spoke to that. And so we're listening for, okay, what's really missing there? And then I wanted to know, okay, what about now? What sort of role is that playing now? And this is where, what I've heard, she said it's driven her to not be poor, that she saves more than is suggested, you know, there's more than 10%, that it is a security blanket, but it's not an end goal. So there were some other things where she said that her income has become an outcome of her passion. There are some unhealthy boundaries, which I asked about, and so that could be something that we're still keeping in the background, a little on the back burner, like, is there some kind of maybe need to be needed? So I might even read through another list. Okay. So,
got it.
So that's in my mind, you know, another route that I might have taken, another one of those lists, the be needed list. And I will say, as I went through the ones that were on her list, it really to me sounds like she has done a lot of work to really meet needs and take care of herself. So if we're looking for a primary unmet need for now, then I would go back into that direction and start asking about the, as I just put on the table, I might suggest, let me read out of this list, and that would be from the needed list, to see if there's something there. So perhaps this idea of a need to be needed might come out, because if there's, if there's other situations in which there are unhealthy boundaries, maybe that's like never going to happen again, or it might be showing up in some other ways where perhaps right now, as just wanting to have this respite in life, being taken care of would be really nice, but you can't really be taken care of when you need to be needed and you're taking care of other people. So we've got this kind of gap happening here, that as we were to continue in the coaching, then we can see that there's a couple of, you know, walls that may be starting to converge, we don't know where they're going to go. We don't know if this is resolved. We don't know if we're going to hit some big bang of like, oh, this is the thing to work on. And so we do as a coach a little more of the work and a little more of the fishing, it only for this kind of conversation. So all of that being said, I'm going to come back to you, Heather, and just get a sense of what you're thinking now, because now we've been talking about you and pointing things out, and I'm speculating some things, and you're certainly thinking on them. So I'm just wondering, what kind of thoughts are you having about your unmet need at this point, and anything about the process up to this point as well, if that feels relevant?
Well, first, the process is fine. I quite like being poked and prodded, because it does get me thinking. So, and I mean, I have done a lot of work around this and loads of journaling and therapy around it and years of reflection and all that. My question is, I wonder why safety isn't one of the needs on here. It's a category, but it's not an actual one you can choose, because if it was, I would have chosen that. So I guess there's a question about that, is if it's possible to put in another word that's actually not on this list.
Yes.
Okay, that answers that. And what was the other question you asked me?
I think I wondered if there was anything about the process, but let's come back to then this idea of safety. And I guess then I wonder, how safe do you actually feel in your life on a regular basis? Or how much of your energy is still spent ensuring your safety?
I honestly think my life is pretty... But it's just, it guides my life. Like, do I feel safe here? If I don't, I need to make space between someone who I don't feel safe around. So, it's the magnetic North Pole. I'm like, nope, don't, I constantly pull back to safety.
And that's something I'm going to say, I think personally, I think is very often the underlying need of, dare I say, everyone. And that if we look at these as onion layers, then, you know, you peel some of those off, peel off a need to do the right thing or to be independent or to be listened to, you know, what is that all about? I feel safe when I know that I'm understood or whatever kinds of things. And I think that when we don't feel safe, that it can drive behaviors in ways that just don't even make sense. You know, and that it's one of the things about the Need Less program is when we've got unmet needs that aren't being tended to, then... And or that we are unaware of, we can do some really bizarre things. And you might think about that difference between if you try and have an argument with somebody who does not have a need to be right, and they're just like, okay, you know, we can differ. I'll consider that. And you know, there's somebody else who's just kind of raring to go and needing to be right, needing them to be wrong in order to feel better, or maybe the person who needs to be center of attention and for some reason is always just, it gets kind of irritating whenever there's a family function or a work party or a meeting or, you know, something, and they're just always the center of attention and don't really leave a lot of room for someone else. And they might even just kind of like, oh, I wish I'd just keep my mouth shut or, you know, something like that. They might leave things saying, like, why did I do that? They might not even always be really feel good about who they are when they leave things, but they can't stop themselves. And so that would be a need that's in motion. And I will say, just based on what we've done, it seems to me that there's a lot of work and a lot of awareness that you've done. So that even if an unmet need, or even if a need, we're not even going to say unmet, even if a need starts to shake and rattle a little bit and say, hey, your safety is being threatened, that you're actually aware of it enough that it's your need for safety that is calling your attention, that you can come to meet it, versus just doing something that you don't quite understand because you're driven to do it in order to keep yourself safe, even though it may not actually keep you safe. And so it may be that you don't have an unmet need that you're not aware of. And it may be that with some further conversation, you might find something else. Or what this might help you do is to consider if you get shaken or disturbed or upset and it seems inexplicably, you know, like, then the thing to do would be to look at, oh, what could be going on in which that's threatening my safety or is triggering some kind of a threat to my safety. And that can be the way then, you know, you can go about and figure out, oh, that's okay, I need to say this, oh, I need to do that, I need to not do that. And so just based on this conversation, this is, you know, it's not diagnosis and it's not any of that. This is just experience as a coach. But my sense, Heather, is that you've done a lot of work and that based on the little bit that we've done, that there's not particularly an unmet need that's really driving you, unless we would even come back to some of that need to be needed, in which case then what we would just go forward in the coaching would be to look into the next section of the Needless program and work with our client to get the needs met. And so that comes in basically out of those four, just picking one to work on and then doing some things like really exploring more fully, you know, how big is this need? What are the costs of me not having it met? What are the benefits of me having it met? What am I ready to meet it? What kind of boundaries? So then you go through this process that's in the assessment of what kind of boundaries do you need to set? What kind of requests do you need to make? What kind of people, who are the safe people that you can invite and ask to help you meet this need? So that you can inform others and let them know that you're doing this work and that you're going to ask them in advance to help you so that you enlist trustworthy people. Not, you know, for example, if it's this fellow who there was unhealthy boundaries and you were paying for him, you probably wouldn't say, I need you to help me set a boundary, you know, to not take care of other people. If that's somebody who's used to your caretaking, they're not going to be the safe one because their livelihood is at risk and it'll start juggling things. But finding people that are safe to ask these things and to really spend some concentrated time working on them in that way, what is asserted here is it becomes the self-automated sprinkler system or satisfaction system, like what it's called now, in which you're super saturating yourself of having that need met so that you become someone with reserves of basically your juice, your livelihood, that you can help, that whatever you give out is not at a cost to you, but what you give out are things that you can afford to give and that nourish you or fuel you enough to also give and do your best out in the world. So I'm looking at the time, and I do have to jump off, but I would like to just hear as a summary what you're taking away from this, and if you've got any lingering questions that maybe need to be addressed, let's say when we do the INW model, because we'll be looking at all of the components together at that point.
Simone, I have a question. This is Brenda. So
yeah.
Where you're stopping with Heather now, that was kind of the first step. So then, and second step, narrow your needs to four. I mean, you know, I think I kind of got down to that. But when you talk about going into these further steps, so is this something that we can do on our own, you know, as coaches? Is it something we need someone else to coach us through? I'm just kind of curious about that.
I think it's best done with a coach.
Okay.
Someone who can, you know, just kind of help listen and walk through and listen for, because sometimes, like, we've got the best stories that we tell ourselves, and we can just talk ourselves through any kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so somebody who can challenge some of those and you know, and asking, I did give a little of that formula to say, ask for the oddball or the thing that seems strange at five, but then you also ask some of those questions of, what's it like for you when you get it? What's it like for you when you don't get it? What's it like for you now? What's it, you know, what role did it play then? So you're kind of always just flipping back and forth on that spectrum, too. I wanted to spotlight that also, which having somebody to help with that can help them kind of hone in on the words or the phrases or the repeats that may go unnoticed when you just start thinking through yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. Someone else?
Yeah, this is Pablo. So what I heard, and you tell me, Simone, if I picked up correctly, is that you start asking the client to identify the needs with the needless program, and then you have this kind of exploratory conversation, and you in a way kind of validate with the client whether those are the real needs, or maybe there's a stronger need hidden somewhere. And also you explore whether those needs are being met in a healthy way or there's any unmet needs. Did I kind of get that correctly?
Yeah, I think yes, and there's more. So, you know, so it is this distillation to figure out if a need, if there is an unmet need that then needs to be addressed. And then that can become the topic of the coaching relationship going forward, or at least a topic, maybe related to whatever else is going on. It's just, you know, kept on. But the exploration of it really is this kind of fishing expedition for needs that are met or unmet, and, you know, what it could be meaning for them. And then down the line, you talk about how they get it met and boundaries and those kinds of things would come up.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And so, coaches, it is the top of the hour, and I have got to go get to my class. I will leave the recording on. If you want to debrief amongst yourself a little bit, please feel free to stay on the line. And then I will have the recording put up on Facebook, and we can continue any kind of Facebook discussion as well. But for now, I thank you so much. Thank you, Heather, for your vulnerability and willingness to play, and for everybody showing up today. And if you've got further questions, just let me know, and we can address those a little more fully in the INW conversation that'll come. Next will be True Values. And then we'll do that one next. So thank you for showing up today. Have a beautiful rest of this day.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Did anybody want to stay on? I'm still here. This is Brenda.
This is Monica. And I'm going to go ahead and get off, I think. But I just wanted to say that I am completely clueless about this program, and I'm going to have to go to my mentor coach, and she's going to have to coach me as a coachee, because I need to be walked through it as if I've never seen this before. I thought that's what this call was all about, so that's my contribution.
Thanks.
And Heather, I want to say, wow, you're so brave. You always are, and I really like this program, and I wasn't prepared for being coached, but I might be, and I know, Heather, we've kind of touched on some of this. I think we've touched on a few of my needs just in our coaching together, so if you would want to do any coaching with me on that, I would love to do it.
Oh, sounds like fun. I'm just going to say, I totally forgot it was going to be posted on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I just excuse my language, so I thought it was only... And I'm like, oh no. But it's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm totally cool.
Heather, I want to
for your vulnerability and stepping out. I didn't thank you for that. So, I just wanted to say goodbye, everybody, and I'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Bye, Monica. And everyone,
bye.
I to, it's dinner time too. Here at my house, so I need to go.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.